In 2004, back during my days at IBM, I had the opportunity to meet and work with Tom Reilly when IBM bought his company Trigo, a business that was focused on master data management solutions. Eventually, Tom left IBM and went on to run ArcSight, which was subsequently acquired by HP. Since 2013, he's been the CEO of Cloudera, a billion-dollar software company that I think you may have heard of. Now, when you think of Cloudera, you probably think of one of those cloud-based, latest technology, data warehousing companies. Sure. But did you know that Cloudera is currently a challenger in Gartner's 2017 Magic Quadrant for data management analytics solutions? And they're up against the likes of Oracle, Teradata, IBM, and Microsoft. Today, we're going to find out why. I'm very excited to welcome Tom to the show. He's a longtime friend of Georgian Partners, and he's got some amazing insights to share. Not only that, he's joined by Hillary Mason, whose company, Fast Forward Labs, was recently acquired by Cloudera. Like Tom, Hillary practically needs no introduction. She's one of the top data scientists in the world and has deep technical expertise that's practically unrivaled. In this episode, I'm putting Tom and Hillary in the hot seat. I'm going to be asking them about the future of machine learning from both an executive and a technical perspective, and we'll bring those pieces together. I'm John Pryle, and welcome to the Impact Podcast. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Excellent, John. Good to be with you.
And great to have you here, Hillary, too.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Tom, Cloudera is pretty much a household name. You know, you guys IPO'd earlier this year. You've had some great success. You know, but as the biggest distributor of Apache Hadoop and all their technology, it goes without saying that you're no stranger to data science. However, anybody who types Cloudera into Google will see right away now that you're positioning yourselves well beyond data into what you're calling interconnected data and machine learning. And we'll come to your acquisition of Fast Forward. I'll talk to Hillary shortly. But can you tell me through Cloudera's evolution and what the drivers were behind that?
Sure, John. So we're in our third phase of our journey. And if you look at, we're a 10-year-old company, but you can break it down into three phases. The first is centered around our founders who brought this amazing new technology to market. In the early years, think of 2008 to 2012, we were just talking about IoT. Big data just became the moniker of the time. And there was this new distributed compute architecture that our early team were the evangelists around. And they're talking about the promise of a new technical approach to solving problems. The second phase of our company, after we proved out the technology, the underlying Hadoop architecture, the second phase was helping enterprises figure out how it fit into their landscape. Now we're talking about data lakes and data hubs. We introduced our Enterprise Data Hub as a platform for large enterprises to centralize all their data into one place, have it well-governed, well-secured, well-managed, and to be able to serve that up to their business. Now we're in the third phase. If you're a large enterprise and you have all your data in one place, what do you do with it? You employ machine learning and advanced analytics to get insight out of that data. And this is the journey we're now on. This is the most exciting part of our journey and the industry, helping large enterprises get great insight from all the data that they have access to.
So what do you see as some of the bigger challenges that companies are facing today as they kind of look at all this onslaught of data and analytic potential?
Well, what I find in talking to large enterprises is they know that there is value in the data that they can now have access to. They just don't know what are the killer use cases, what are the insights. And so what we rolled out are what we call the business value drivers, three categories of use cases, how you can get incredible insights into your customers and predict their needs. We call that driving customer insight. The second category of use cases, if you're a manufacturer, how you can connect your products or your services to phone home, so that you can introduce new competitive offerings or understand how your products are being used in the market, often referred to as IoT. And the third class of use cases where data and machine learning can really help a business is protecting a business. This is where our technology is being used in cybersecurity or detecting money laundering or for fraud or modeling risk. And so what we're really now at the stage of, large companies understand that there's a lot of untapped value in data. We're now helping them understand what are the use cases that can get the greatest impact.
Hillary, I want to bring you into this conversation. Tom just talked a little bit about kind of these different vertical slices that are available, whether it's money laundering or IoT or medical. As with Fast Forward Labs, it was all about consulting and bringing machine learning kind of forward. What do you expect to be doing then in your new role here as VP of research?
It's more of the same, but with more opportunity. And so at Fast Forward Labs, we do really two things. So we do applied machine learning research, where we push the state of the art, and we aim to publish our reports and prototypes about 6 months to 2 years before they hit the market. And what I mean by that is that we're talking about capabilities that you will be able to build into your real products at scale in a reasonable time frame, but we're doing it before it's something that's common and before it's something that's commoditized. And the value that our customers see out of this is that it just opens up new applications for them. So they're able to say, you know, wow, I have a ton of unstructured data. Now I understand how to use word embeddings and deep learning to build structure on that unstructured data. And we have a bunch of business problems where this may actually be relevant to building a new kind of solution. And so we will continue to be investing in that applied machine learning research. And then on the consulting and advising side, continuing to support our clients to build excellent data products and data businesses.
You had a little bit of scale time frame in there. You know, the tagline for Fast Forward was reporting on, I love this, by the way, reporting on the recently possible. Take me through then, what your customers are looking for in terms of what you can deliver on and the expectations of when they're going to see value.
So our main product is a series of research reports and working software prototypes that demonstrate these techniques in a production environment that show how to use emerging machine learning capabilities to solve real impactful problems. And so what our customers see from this is that they very easily get a deep understanding of what these techniques are, how they work, what the good uses are for them, where they can go wrong, what the engineering challenges are going to be, and what they're going to look like. We make a prediction in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, and then the far future, where we've actually, in our last few reports, had a science fiction author contribute a short piece to sort of get people thinking really creatively about what might happen. And the other side of what we do is really helping them take that knowledge and then execute on it, meaning that on our advising side, we do about half technical, deeply technical work, and about half all of the things you have to solve around that technical work in order to build really excellent data use cases.
Cool. Now, Tom, I think the timing of this probably happened or started before you brought in Fast Forward, but in the Solutions Gallery is this pretty cool airline chatbot solution that came out of Australia. Kind of tell me a little bit of how that came to be, your view of that. And I think we'll have Hillary comment a bit on some of the machine learning stuff that's underlying that cool solution.
Well, so there's a couple of building blocks, John, that I'll step to. First off, as a company, our mission in life is to leverage data to make what's impossible today possible tomorrow. And what you just heard from Hillary is they're on the cutting edge of figuring out what is possible. How do we take the latest research, apply it to real-world business problems, and do what Georgian Partners is all about, applied artificial intelligence. Now, you talked about just one of the chatbots, which is one of many things that we're doing. But this is part of a journey to help our customers take the latest and greatest techniques and apply them to real-world business problems. Before we acquired Fast Forward Labs, we acquired a company called Sense.io to deliver the data science workbench. The organizations, or the individuals and companies that are really trying to make the future a reality, are data scientists. And we're about making them much more productive. The data science workbench brings data scientists closer to IT and where data is at, and automating a lot of what used to be very difficult, a big gap that we had to close. And now with Fast Forward Labs bringing research into the data scientists' hands, we're making IT, data science, and the latest techniques much more accessible. And you're going to see in our solutions gallery many use cases that go well beyond the chat box that you see from an airline.
Hillary, I want to go a little forward in the future with you. You talk a little bit about getting these to scale. Sometimes you're on the data science team. Sometimes you're talking to the to kind of the business side. I saw an interview a couple of months ago where you stated that you spend a lot of your time on what you called executive therapy. And you were explaining to the executives kind of what was going on. So, you know, based on the workbench, and sometimes the customers are not where you need them to be, how would you get that to scale? How do you get it? How can you kind of make things happen faster?
So I think what you're asking about is essentially, how do you actually build a great data product? And how do you do this in these complex organizations with heterogeneous legacy technology platforms and perhaps messy data sets that nobody quite understands? And I'll challenge what Tom said a little bit, and that I believe it's not just the data scientist's mandate to do this, because one of the common failure modes for data science that I see is that people work on the wrong problems. So they choose low priority, or they choose to improve something by a percent that isn't actually impactful. And so rather, it is a collaboration between the business leadership and the people who understand what would really be impactful, where you can actually apply some automation or machine learning and have great ROI or perhaps even new revenue, along with the technologists who bring the deep understanding of what's expensive, what's cheap, what's easy, what's hard, and what's possible today, but, you know, necessary for next year. And so when I talk about doing executive therapy, it is really bringing that expertise around the technology so that the folks making those business decisions are comfortable with the idea that they're making the right investments and that they're not just investing in something here and something there, each of which may succeed or fail on its own, but they're making investments in things that they can then build on in their next set of projects, which is where you really start to see this kind of compounding success with analytics and machine learning.
And Tom, do you see the similar challenge when you're sitting with the CEOs that they're still struggling with what business problem they're trying to solve, or that they're just kind of laying that on the shoulders of the data science team, or that the product team sort of understand that ML is kind of the future for them?
Hillary correctly corrected me. Yes, the data scientists are the developers of the solution of the future, but they need business leaders that understand how their businesses need to be data and insight driven. And this is where we need to make these data scientists better and more productive, but we need to educate the executives about what it means to become data and insight driven. To do that, we have to educate our sales force. So I often say, if you're going into a auto insurer and you're not talking about usage-based insurance to them and pay when you drive, pay how you drive insurance, then you're missing an opportunity. But all auto insurance companies have to be working on UBI today. It's like if you're walking into an auto manufacturer and you're not talking about self-driving autonomous vehicles, right? You're not talking about the use cases of the future. If you're in a financial institution and you're not talking to the chief risk officer about how machine learning can be the answer to detecting money laundering or preventing fraud or being used for CCAR, you're missing the opportunity. If you're in a healthcare provider and you're not talking about precision medicine or population health, right, it's a missed opportunity. So what we're trying to do is identify these use cases to educate the business users and the executives, and then to empower the data scientists by closing the gap between IT and them, fast forward, bring in their applied research. Those are the ingredients that we're trying to bring together. And then finally, and hopefully to your audience in this podcast, there's tremendous opportunity for partners to build these industry-specific solutions, often sitting between traditional players that we are looking for partners to build on our platform, these bring industry expertise.
It's interesting. You and I have a little bit of history back in IBM and infrastructure companies, and it's very clear from what probably started out as a data infrastructure provider 10 years ago, you've really made a huge evolution that it's anything but infrastructure at this point.
Well, we certainly hope that that's the point of the journey we're on. You need to go from infrastructure, but what is infrastructure good for? You need to identify those business applications. And in our world, those applications are often developed by data scientists, but they need the funding and the oversight and the commitment from their executives.
And Hill, as you look at the tools that are there today, what's going to be happening in the next 3 years or so? Let's kind of stay relatively near term that people should be thinking about today, but they're not quite ready to deliver on us. What do you think we'll be in a few years from now?
So from a tooling point of view, we'll continue to see that creeping tide of commoditization in machine learning in two different ways. So one in the tooling itself. So we have excellent open source libraries, excellent tools that sort of make it much easier to use a particular algorithm. You no longer have to write it from scratch. Other people have looked at the code. You're fairly sure it'll scale. That will continue, and it'll continue to branch out into areas that make it easier to do some of the more cutting edge applications such as video segmentation or, you know, word embeddings on large amounts of unstructured text. Another area I'm excited about in the next few years is seeing commoditization of specific machine learning driven areas where the data is a common good. And by that, I mean things like voice recognition, face recognition. There's no need for all of us to code up our own face recognizer from scratch. That's something that a couple of people with very broad data sets will really be excellent at. That doesn't, by the way, describe the majority of machine learning use cases, but there are a subset where we're going to see those be fairly commoditized. And then the third piece that I'm personally very excited about is really thinking about how we develop, manage, and deploy machine learning applications. So right now, it is a very messy process. In many organizations, I might write some code and then go on vacation, and then Tom has to modify it and he can't find it or work with my code, so he has to write his own. And this sounds like a mess, and it is, but it is the way that many people actually operate today. And then when we talk about how we take a model, put it in production, actually monitor the quality of that model over time and update it with new data that's gathered from the environment it's operating in, that's something where several people do it very well, but it's a custom solution. I believe we'll see a lot of additional tooling around that. And so, I mean, in short, the life of the data product developer will get a lot better in the next 3 years.
I do want to follow up one point, and maybe it's going to go down a dark path, but tell me if I'm seeing it wrong a little bit. I like the thought that there'll be a commoditization of a certain set of capabilities, whether it's facial recognition or whatever might be done. But at the same time, when there's the Facebooks and the Googles and the Amazons that have a whole bunch of data that they're not willing to share necessarily, how do you see things evolving in terms of what companies can provide that commoditization of some of this important work?
Well, I mean, you work in the VC community, so you probably see many startups where their advantage is that they are creating a proprietary data set that allows them to address one of these applications. And this also ties into what Tom said around vertical applications, in that you can imagine, and there are in fact companies who are pursuing becoming the best at lung cancer diagnostics from radiology data. There are companies pursuing becoming the best at, you know, crowd counting, how many people actually are in this picture. And so for those particular applications, there are an oligarchy of companies that have an unfair advantage next to the rest of us, and certainly next to startups who want to move into this space. But there are plenty of people out there also finding creative ways to build these proprietary data sets. So I wouldn't lose hope.
Yeah, I think you're right. In terms of what we look for, and these are probably the type of companies that'll be looking to run on a Cloudera type infrastructure, is that we're looking for companies that know processes and know something really well and can figure out what pieces of data need to be brought together, where they can reach out to third-party data, pull it all together. That's what your SDX platform is doing, I think, as well. Right, Tom? Is that how that fits, brings all the pieces together?
Well, the SDX platform is really designed to give our enterprises a lot of agility. So what SDX allows them to do is, regardless of where the data resides, to apply the same machine learning, the same analytics against those data sets with a consistent set of security, data governance, and data management. So our customers want to be able to run their advanced analytics anywhere, on-prem, in a private cloud, in the public cloud, and increasingly everywhere. And that's what SDX does, is it provides one consistent framework across all those environments. So you could be leveraging Amazon's compute infrastructure, Microsoft's, Google's, or your own, and you have one consistent framework, one consistent set of security, management tools, data ingest tools, and a metadata catalog that spans all those environments, giving you the ability to run your analytics anywhere.
So you'll help take these sources of data, all these different sources of data, whether they're in an enterprise or within third parties, and kind of figure out how to align that with the business objectives and come up with some kind of pretty cool ML-based solution. And that would be my That'd be my prediction, I guess, eh?
Yeah. Now, hey, you guys, before we go further, since we're on record, I do need to correct Hillary about one thing she said. Hillary used the analogy of her going on vacation and collaborating with me and me coming in and modifying her code. The correction is, I will never, ever modify Hillary's code.
I was going to actually raise that, but I figured that wouldn't be mine to raise.
Hey, this Hillary's welcome to correct my code if she could.
I was just going to say, if she could find out where that was. That was many years ago, I'm sure. Hey, this was a fantastic dialogue. I really do appreciate the two of you giving me the time today. There's a great story evolving as this world of data and analytics is evolving to really just a kind of a ML-led story that's going to change a lot of business as we all move forward. And I look forward to working with you both in the future. Tom, thank you so much.
Yeah, John, and I will say, you know, Cloudera is excited to be partnered with Georgian Partners and your portfolio companies. We hope many of them elect to partner with Cloudera and build great lasting companies, bringing applied AI to industry. So thank you for the time.
You bet. Hillary, thanks so much for being with us. A pleasure.
Well, thank you. And I agree. This is a really exciting time to be working in this space.
Thanks for listening. If you like what we're doing, we'd appreciate your telling other people about the show. Better yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or write a review. Doing so will really help ensure that more people can find us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Impact Podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you go to find your podcasts.